Joining us now, he's the head golf professional down at the Country Club of Jackson. Jason Pendergast joins us. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing awesome. You got a little golf tournament, the Sanderson Farms, coming up soon. How's the weather been for you in the fall so far?
It's been hot, believe it or not. We had a ton of rain all summer long. It never felt like it was going to stop raining. And then it kind of cooled down a bit, and then it got warm. We had 95-degree days in late September, and it was 90 here just this past weekend. So the weather's been great. We've got some cool nights coming here for the tournament. So our superintendent, that's what he wanted, was for it to cool down a little bit, kind of help shut the grass down and keep the consistency of the golf course all week.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, how do your agronomy guys feel about the weather you had in the off season? I mean, is that good? Is it bad? I mean, when we're dealing with the kind of grasses you guys have, is this ideal, or does it create challenges for them?
Yeah, I think the superintendent would love for Mother Nature to do all the irrigating. You know, that way he doesn't have to turn on a head ever, right? But overall, Mother Nature's rain has some nitrogen in it, so that certainly helps keep it green, helps it grow a little. He doesn't want it to rain anymore between now and then, so hopefully we can keep that. But he did want it to cool down a little for the tournament. The Bermuda grass kind of shuts down. If you get nighttime lows below 70, the grass kind of shuts down from growing, and he really likes it when it's around that for the tournament-wise.
All right, last year we had a couple of things happen. We had Cody Gribble starts with a 73 and then wins the golf tournament at 20 under. And then,
yeah, and I got a funny story about Cody and his 73 afterwards, so go ahead.
All right, so you can tell it. But also we got to kind of world introduced to Xander Schauffele, who finished tied for fifth. So go ahead with your, Cody Gribble starting with a 73 and getting a 20 under.
So Cody came out to do the Champions Dinner media day, and I'm driving him around playing, and he said that after the 73, he called his dad, and they were loading the truck up to go to the ranch that they have to deer hunt. They didn't figure he was going to make it through Friday. And then after Friday, he makes the cut, so he's got to unpack the car, pack the car back up to come over to Jackson to watch him win the golf tournament. So pretty neat deal. You go from possibly missing the cut to go deer hunting to making the cut and then actually having a great weekend and holding the trophy at the end. Pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, I hope they were able to unpack all the deer urine and not bring that to your golf course, because you don't need more deer.
You don't want that falling in the vent either, I promise you.
Well, how do you go from 73 to getting 20 under in the next three rounds? I mean, that's getting around a golf course. I don't care who you are.
You know, I kind of asked him a similar question while we were riding around, and after 73, he didn't really figure he was going to be around for the weekend either. So he started taking more aggressive lines. He said some putts started to fall for him, you know, in day two. He freed up, he said, and it actually took a little pressure off, although I'm not so sure he wants to post a 73 out of the gates every tournament. But he did say that it actually helped him freed up some when he played on Friday and day two. And then it was going so good, he kind of just went out a lot more flags than he normally would. So,
I mean, do you now open every teaching session with, yeah, forget your address, we need to free up?
We should, you know. Everyone squeezes the club far too hard. They wonder why they can't hit a flop shot over the bunker, and they've dented the shaft and their grip because it's so hard. So I don't know. He did say that during the media deal that he was going to get asked about his shot on 16, which, if you remember, was kind of that front left and kind of hanging over by the lake, or by the swamp rather, and he hit it left of the flag, and he said that he was certainly not aiming over there. But someone asked him as he was walking up to the green about taking dead aim, and he just kind of looked at him and smiled and said, I did. So, you know, you got to love it. When you're on, right?
Absolutely. So, all right, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the Country Club of Jackson, what defines it? When you tell somebody you go to the PGA show, or you're out west or something, and somebody sees your name tag and they ask you about your course, what defines this course? What can we look for when we're watching over the weekend?
The golf course looks like It's easy. It's one of those that will lull you to sleep, and then after a number of bogeys, you wonder how you just shot 73, for example. because it's really not that hard to do. You just have to be in a couple of wrong spots, and all of a sudden you just can't make some putts. Our greens are really flat, but when they get to the greens around 12 and a half or so, the nuances in them really start to show up. And it's hard to make putts when they get quick. So it looks easy until you fall asleep and then you're a few over par. I looked up a couple of things the other day in preparation to talk to you guys. And ironically, the last 3 years that we have had this, holes 13 through 15, the winner has been between 5 and 7 under par on that three stretch of holes.
Wow.
So if you're not 5 to 7 under, and that consists of a par 3, a par 5, and then our reachable par 4, and the winners have been 5 under, 6 under, and 7 under on that three-hole stretch. So you better bring some game on those three holes, or you're not going to hold the trophy at the end.
Well, and your position on the schedule, I mean, you talk about guys freeing themselves up and playing well, and Mark mentioned Xander Schauffele, and have you had a chance to see some guys that maybe we didn't hear about emerging, but you know, in this part of the schedule, have you enjoyed seeing some younger or lesser known players play well on your course and kind of predict success later in the season?
Yeah, it has been fun to see some new names. Our members actually talk about that a little bit. They, you know, it's almost like they become a part of the family when they come out and they play, and then they play well, and our members have watched them, you know, play the golf course, and then they tend to remember them here, and then they watch them, you know, throughout the year or notice that they're playing well, and they're like, he played at our place, you know, that kind of thing. So I think early in the season, most of your early spots, the young guys are trying to get a head start on the earnings to try to make enough money to keep their card. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the new change of the schedule going forward. So who knows? We may get some different players if we ever end up off the World Golf Championship, you know, being an off-site event.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting field as I'm looking through the commitment list. It's like you said, you get a lot of the younger guys, but you're also getting some of the name guys that may not have been playing that well for the last couple of years. Guys like a Stuart Appleby or Retief Goosen and these kind of guys that may, you know, be looking for the same thing. You get the young guys that are looking to make a name, get a career started. Some of these guys are kind of looking to turn it around a little bit.
I think that is it's a neat thing, and it's a golf course that if you can putt well out here, you really have a good chance to throw in one of those late career, if you will, or late career wins, or you have an opportunity to throw one in that kind of re-sparks that, you know, you're in your mid-career, you know, 30s or what have you, or if you've been struggling. So the rough is really thick out here this year. The summer rains have really thickened the rough up. The rough's going to be challenged. They're going to need to hit the fairway or they're going to have a hard time. The greens are perfect. I played yesterday. The greens are perfect. The rough will eat your shoes up. It's so thick out there right now. So a guy needs to drive it well and certainly putt it well. If he does that, he'll have a chance there come the last stretch of holes on Sunday.
And it is a deeply rooted, mature course, right? I mean, when you talk about thick rough, it's thick and the roots are deep.
Yeah, they are. We renovated. John Foat and Mike Gogol did John Foat's renovation. Mike Gogol was his lead guy here on property in 2008. So the golf course is almost a decade old in its renovation. We did full greens and tee complexes, added some length to it. No changes on the golf course this year from last year. So, it's quite healthy for sure. The greens are firming up. Like I said, I played this weekend. They were really fast. It was really good.
Well, we're excited for our annual conversation with Jason Prendergast, the head golf professional down at the Country Club of Jackson hosting the Sanderson Farms. And I'm curious, when you look at the golf course as a whole, where, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, what kind of score you need to have at a certain spot, but where can we see guys really score? If we're watching it on TV, for example, and then where can we look for guys to falter? I kind of like the carnage.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it's interesting. If you look at where the TV towers, that's where birdies had better be made. And the holes without the TV towers are where they have to hold on and not make bogeys, as bogeys don't make great television unless it's the U.S. Open, right? So holes 4, 5, and 6, the hardest par 3 on the property, 615-ish yard par 5, and one of the hardest par 4s on the property. The players, and I look back, the winner played those holes at even or one under par for the weekend. I mean, for the whole week. So that stretch of holes, they need to hold on. Once again, 13 through 15 is where they really need to score. But I think a major scoring hole, in order for you to hold the trophy, you have got to play hole number 3, at least 3 under for the weekend. I mean, for the week. And that's a par 5. It's about 575. There's not a lot of trouble. You go drive it in the fairway, and you can blast something up by the green and get it up and down. But I think if you don't play that hole at least 3 under par, I'm not sure you can win. I mean, that's such an easy hole that it's an important hole.
All right, Jason, for you out there playing the golf course, what is your favorite?
Oh, here we go.
What is
here
your favorite shot on the golf course, and what is the one shot in this golf course that? Because I know I've got them on a lot of courses that you just go, man, you think about that one shot all day, and then once it's over, you're either really mad because you didn't hit a good shot, or you're like, phew, we got through it. What's the good and what's the bad?
The all right, I'll give you the good shot. I've got two. The putt, whenever my putt on number 2 finishes down by the water's edge, and if the hole's cut down on the left side of the green, the putt does not break to the water. It's supposed to, right? I mean, we all know
everything
that
goes to
the water.
Yeah.
It does not. There's a little ridge there that forces the ball back to the center of the green. So I love making that putt, even though it's not supposed to go to the water. That's number one. My favorite tee ball on the property is on 17. And if you can hit it up on the right-hand side of the fairway, it's really hard pan up there. You can hit it an extra 30 yards if you can hit that tee ball up there. So the worst shot on the property would be if on 16, kind of our signature hole, there's a swamp left, which obviously is dead. But if you bail out a little bit to the right to protect from the swamp and you end up in the rough on the right-hand side of 16, the ground is above your feet. It's downhill, hanging above your feet lie with the swamp left. It is the hardest shot on the property to make. So 16, survive that one. 17, try to hit it high up on the right-hand side of the fairway. And I think those are the best two. And 6, you got to survive 6. You got to have to hit a tee ball 285 to get it to the corner to have an open view of the green. And then from there, it's 190 yards into that hole. So that's a key shot. I guess that would be one that I don't like also, because sometimes my ball doesn't go 285.
Well, now, before we let you go, I mean, you've seen literally thousands of rounds played out there and can equate it to just about any player who might show up there. You know, is it the bomber who's going to have success, or is it the surgeon?
Now, I think the surgeon is the one. A lot of our par fours are in that low to early 400s, 408, 418, 430. So a lot of these guys are going to hit some 3-woods off tees and have some irons in. But the player that putts well is the player that's going to do well. And I'll tell you, I'm going to throw out two names of people that you need to watch outside of our local favorite, Jonathan Randolph, who grew up playing out here and has retained his card this year. William McGirt is my early call for this year's winner. He finished second a couple of years ago. He had that shot I was telling you about on 16 that didn't work out, and he made a bogey. William McGirt also was in the top 50 last year and was not able to play in our event. But he called Steve Gent, our tournament director, and said, I'm not going to China, but I want to come play in your pro-am. I love the course. I love your event. What Mr. Sanderson does, can I come play in the pro-am? And he said, I don't know. I'm going to have to call the tour to find out. So William McGirt's in the field. I look for him to do very well, if not hold the trophy at the end. And then a guy like Bads or Brian Gay, someone that can really roll the ball, is the guy that's going to hold the trophy, I really think.
Yeah, there's two rock rollers right there that you just mentioned. All right, so real quick, what's the final score? What are you pulling back a few brews on a Sunday afternoon and saying nobody can catch me? What's the number?
The number this year is 17.
Oh, I like it. Three less.
It was 16.
Year.
It's been 16, 18 in a wet year, 20 last year when Cody just went on fire out of his mind. But the second place finish last year was also 16, and 18 was when it was wet. So 16, maybe if you shoot 17, you win. If you shoot 16, you might be in a playoff.
All right. Well, Jason, as always, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to a great event.
Gentlemen, thank you all for everything you do in golf and promoting us and all the events, and I enjoy listening to your show. Best of luck to you guys, and maybe I'll call you after the tournament's over and let you know that we were correct in our prediction. How about that?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, guys. Have a great day.